AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back to Sanity Cinema, and today we're diving into something special. In this episode, we're breaking down the classic film Goodfellas with our guest Brian's oldest son, Caleb. We had a blast dissecting the film's iconic scenes, unforgettable characters, and what makes this movie a masterpiece in crime cinema. From the incredible performances to Scorsese's masterful direction, Caleb brought some fresh insights to the conversation. As Henry Hill says in the movie, "As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster." That line really sets the tone for the entire film, and we dig into how ambition, loyalty, and betrayal drive the story forward. So let's get into it.
All right, welcome Baltimore to Sanity Cinema, baby. And this one I'm very excited about. I have my one. Yeah. Well, first of all, the film we're going to dive into is Goodfellas. We all know it, we all love it, but we're going to go deep dive. We've got a couple of categories we'll rock out, and our guest is my eldest son, my pride and joy. Caleb, I love you to death, and he is a cinephile to an extent. Yeah. He grew up with me.
Kind of comes so with the territory.
Yes, it does. Right. But this is something we're going to start doing with the movie. You may remember the Jaws episode, which was a huge hit.
It was.
On the 4th of July. So what we're going to start doing is having special guests in for these movie episodes and talk about their favorite movie. Or movies. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing here today. So welcome, Caleb.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
So full disclosure.
We were
going to do Insidious.
You want to go here?
Which I hadn't watched.
We can do this.
until recently. And I was less than impressed with that film.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
It's offensive.
That's not to say I didn't like it. Maybe it was too hyped up. Maybe my expectations were too high. But it was interesting. But I didn't not like it. But I wouldn't. I found it odd that it was your favorite movie at the time.
So
one of them.
It
at least.
Started with Dad being a cinephile as mm-hmm. well, just pushing movies down my throat, and then I hit like. Fourth grade, fifth grade, and it's like, all right, it's time. We're going to watch Scream. That was my very first horror movie I ever watched was Scream.
That's a good one.
And it was great and just fell in love with horror movies ever since. Like, probably second favorite genre mm-hmm. behind gangster movies. Mm-hmm. But, so I was, came out in 2011?
Something like that. Yeah,
It came out when we lived in Finksburg.
It's old enough.
And we moved from Finksburg when I was in sixth grade.
I think it's so somewhere in 2012, 2014, I think.
Oh, is
one
it
of
that?
That? Yeah.
So interesting. I was probably 11, right. maybe. And Ed at your work was like, dude, I watched Insidious. You got to check it out. And you're like, what is that? I've never even heard of that, never seen trailers, nothing.
Ed Hyde.
None of us were right. 2010.
Okay, so I was 10.
I said 2010.
I thought you said 08.
Okay. I said 08 or 10.
Okay.
I was 10, and neither of us knew what to expect with this movie, and we put it on. Mom was at work. It was like a big no-no. Friday night, go to Taco Bell, get some food, come back and watch the movie. And it was my scariest movie experience.
That's fair enough. Okay. Like, Brian didn't tell me that the first time you saw it, you were 10.
Yeah. Now, so I was.
So Garrett watched
terrified.
It and he was 13 at the time because this was like a couple of weeks ago. And he made it through it. But the next day I was like, so did you think that was scary? He was like, yes.
It's creepy.
Yes,
it sticks with you.
He was definitely creeped out from it. I guess me as an adult, I was just.
This is what I'll say.
I wasn't very scared.
This is what I'll say.
Jump scares, though, were crazy.
Well, the jump scares are scares. Keep in mind, at the Davis house, if you jump scare and get scared, that's a scare. Yeah. Now, number two, I do think if you rewatched it, I almost guarantee you didn't get the whole depth.
Probably not. And I'm willing to, I'll revisit it.
Because, that's why I loved it, was not because I was 10. But it's because the story was really well executed and Insidious is it was really well done. And so story
wise,
the
lipstick demon,
it wasn't scary, just a hit with the leps. It was a hit. Yeah. That put James Wan on the map. Actually, Saul 1 put James Wan on the map, but this one gave him the cachet to do Conjuring and all this.
And I feel like Stranger Things took a lot from it.
Oh man, Stranger Things.
Borrowed, but
I love Stranger Things, but the Upside Down
is cool and Tiptoe Through the Tulips, the thing, Garrett, as a 13-year-old, he's like, that's where this song's from. I'm like, yes, and that song's creepy, and it's not even an evil or creepy song.
No, right. It's Tiny Tim.
But it's creepy because he died, Tiny Tim died performing that song.
No.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so. I think that's an urban legend. Unless he just died recently. Did he die recently performing it?
Possibly.
That might be right. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, that might be right.
Little sidetrack, but it was perfect. Relevant.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And it's good radio to bring it up because I wasn't so shocked because I've seen you with horror lately have been hit or miss. You can't do it like you used to do it. It doesn't do it for you like it used to do it. So when we suggested Insidious, in my head, I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I'll go for it because he's not into it anyway, you know? So I appreciate the effort.
I didn't not like it.
Yeah, you didn't shit on it.
So Tiny Tim died in 1996 after suffering a heart attack during a performance. And supposedly the part of that performance he was doing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Damn, let me tell you how.
That makes the song
10 times
that
creepier.
Much more creepy.
Definitely crazy. I didn't even know that. Let me tell you what I think. I thought he was still alive when it came out. I thought I saw him in an award show that year.
1996, had a heart attack while performing that song.
Son of a bitch.
Okay, so that was a little nice sidetrack.
It's great.
We got Insidious out. That's good.
Definitely clear.
And now we're into Goodfellas.
Yes.
Yes. Now, let me lead this off with it. So, do you recall the first time I insisted on you watching Goodfellas? I don't. Do you happen?
I do. And here's why you don't remember. It wasn't with you. It was with Mom. Of all people.
Wow.
It was with Mom. And I think this is what, is the reason I just love this movie so much. Again, living in Finksburg, and we're flipping through the TV, and she passes Goodfellas, and it's the opening scene. Trunk pops open. They're standing there.
looking at Billy.
Nah, we probably shouldn't watch this. And it's just like, what do you mean we shouldn't watch this? This looks so good. What is going on? Are we halfway through the movie? No, it's the beginning.
Right.
We gotta watch it. And she's like, nah, I don't know. I was like, oh, come on. Let's watch it. And she's like, okay, we'll watch it. And that was my very first time watching it. I was 11, maybe.
Yeah, it's great because it opens with...
Yeah, like if you've
arguably
never seen
the most integral part of the movie.
And arguably the most upsetting knife killer.
That's the most upsetting, but not necessarily the most upsetting death, but we'll get to that.
True. Yeah, well, so that's fun. So let me ask you this. Was I pissed? Did I come home hot because you watched Goodfellas without me?
I can't remember.
I feel like I might
you
have been.
Probably did.
I probably you did. Probably I get did. Weird like that, especially about epic films in the house. You know, it's important. Well, that's fun. That's good shit.
Just a quick little background. Goodfellas premiered at the 47th Venice International Film Festival, September 9th, 1990.
1990.
Nice. Yeah. Scorsese got the Silver Lion for Best Director at that event. The movie was released on September 19th, 1990, which is insane.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, dude. First of all, September. And it's September.
Yeah, so we're celebrating the 34th anniversary coming up. Is that right?
Yeah, 34, 2024. You're
more reasoned in the math world,
I'm
I guess.
I'm terrible at math. But yeah, 2024, that would be 34
yeah.
years.
And the film was made on a budget of $25 million back then, which I'm assuming was a lot, and they grossed $47 million. Yep. And it was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, Best Director, Best Picture. Joe Pesci won for Best Supporting Actor. I guess my first question is, what movie did it lose to?
Silence of the Lambs.
Wrong.
1990. Okay, so that must mean Silence of the Lambs was 91. So 1990, Dances with Wolves.
There you go. Got it. Took you 2 guesses.
You should have got first try.
I should have. It's
but he got it on the second try, which is still impressive.
But it's offensive.
It's like Dee Dee and Pop-Pop's favorite movie.
Yeah, but here's what I'll remember, or what I'll say about the memory of the release of these, of Silence of the Lambs and Goodfellas. No. The reason why I catch them is because I remember specifically when they came home from seeing both of those movies, and I swear it was like the same year. When did you say, was Silence is 91? I'm assuming.
I think so, yeah.
So that must be
I'd have to look that up.
But yeah, I remember when Dad came in the kitchen after seeing Goodfellas with my mother, you know, and my mother, you know, Dad's like, B, oh my God, you know, like it was unbelievable. My mother's like, Brian, like it was shocking. Like,
I don't remember the first time I saw it, but I would think it was with you. I don't think I saw it in 1990.
I think you're right.
I know I didn't. Because Casino came out in, what, 95? And yes. I know we saw that together. We saw I probably saw Goodfellas around the same time that we saw Casino.
Yeah, I swear.
The first time, I mean. Maybe 93.
I think Cold Saturday era was the Goodfellas.
Yeah, it was definitely a Cold Saturday basement movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was that's when we were rocking right around there. Yep. So I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, God, it's fantastic. Arguably one of the greatest gangster films of all time.
Right. Now, so we've got 5 categories we're going to get through through the course of this, and I'm just going to list them to you so you are aware of them. I think I sent them to you last night. But just for those at home, we're going to go for best performance, in your opinion, of course. Best quote, best sleeper scene. Okay, now that's a LEP special. A sleeper is off the beaten path. Like, not, you know, you talking to me, the one everybody knows about Taxi Driver. You know, the scene that isn't in the zeitgeist and everybody, the one that affects you that not everybody knows. There, if you don't have one, that's fine.
Sure.
It's good. And then best obvious scene that won your heart. And this is the category that I want to start doing, and I haven't quite figured on how to roll it out yet, but it's called 6 Degrees of Baltimore, and we will pick one actor or two actors in real time, not ahead of time, in real time, and try to link them back to a Baltimore film or artist within 6 turns. Example, Robert De Niro's in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro was in was in Angel Heart in 1987 with Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke was in Diner, filmed in Baltimore in 1980.
Okay, that's
very famous.
That was
easy. So now to put a little bit of spin on the game. So I don't want Google. I fucking hate Google. I want experience. And so I want to know, you know, who can do these kinds of things. So that's a category I'm working with.
Well, example because everybody will just link right to Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's
some
the most obvious.
Some will be easier than others, and some you'll have to search your thoughts. Like, and I do accept Washington era, you know, like anywhere in the Delmarva Peninsula.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, House of Cards was in D.C. 12 Monkeys was filmed in Baltimore and D.C.
Yeah.
Enemy of the State was Baltimore and D.C. A lot of stars in a lot of these things. So we have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know. I'm not very good at 6 Degrees.
Yeah, that's
tough. I am.
That's it. That's him. That's you.
That's right, baby.
Right. Oh, I have some questions, too. I have some questions, and they probably should be multiple choice, but they're not. So we're gonna see how you go.
Do you want to go categories first and questions, or do you want questions and categories?
No, whatever you want to do. Well, no. What's you said categories?
I'm saying, like, if you want to go around, do the 4 categories, and then we'll do the trivia time questions.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. So we'll start with the guest, my son Caleb, the illustrious Caleb. The first category is, in your opinion, what's the best performance in the film? And why?
I think it's Ray Liotta, especially the second half of the movie when he's just like coked out of his mind. He looks very unhealthy, just sweaty, sunken eyes. Like, he looks like he's actually going through that.
Yeah, props to the makeup department.
Yeah, right? Plus mixed with all like the like cinematography, like the cuts of the music and the cuts of the shots. Like, it just works perfect.
Yeah, so I read something interesting about that. Is Ray Liotta's mother died during production of that movie. Wow. So that's kind of, that led to his intense performance in a lot of ways, in a lot of scenes.
Wow. And I think he had, he was known to be a bit of a firecracker. I don't know.
I could see that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he had issues on that particular film set because he was fresh and new. But yeah, the great, great call. Like, many people, you know, that's a underrated performance in my opinion, because it was De Niro, Pesci, you know, and then Ray Liotta, who?
Yeah.
But.
And he was able to hang in there. Right. Like, outshine. But I will say, after watching the making of or whatever, De Niro used to call the actual Henry Hill like 5-6 times a day on set. Like, how'd he hold his cigarette? How'd he hold a shot glass?
I read like, that too, yeah.
Super, super like anal about it. When every little Piccadilly that he did
about Jimmy, to be Jimmy Burke.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. But that I still think Ray Liotta kind of stole it.
I love Ray Liotta. You know what movie I love?
I do. No Escape, baby.
Love that movie. but oh my God. But the villain in that movie, I don't know is the actor's name.
It's
but
the villain, same villain from Lethal Weapon 3.
Which is probably the worst Lethal Weapon movie.
Right.
But not
it's
even.
It's fun. It's still
because
fun.
Because, yeah, Joe Pesci, I mean.
Dude.
But the his character in No Escape was so douchey. With
have
the,
you
with
watched
like the dread hair and the braids. Have I watched it recently? Yeah. No, but I've seen it several times.
It's on Tubi.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or Crackle. It's okay. On one of those. And dude, I watched it literally like 2 months ago because I don't know why.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I mean, Lance Henriksen,
Ernie Hudson,
Kevin Dillon, Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson's in it. It's got a good cast. Yeah. It's just not well executed and it doesn't hold up. And the gun is like a ray gun.
94.
Like it's a weird, it doesn't look like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
but it's so funny that I know you, baby. Yeah. I know Ray Liotta.
I mean, he had a lot of fantastic films.
All right, give me what's your best performance in your
opinion? I always liked Paul Cicero. Ooh. Like I loved his character. He was intimidating, but he wasn't in a whole lot of scenes.
Right.
But when he was, you knew
counted.
He was the boss.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, he was just a force.
I watched it last night and I was struck by Servino. Yeah. I always forget because again, it's overshadowed by all these giants.
Yeah, and I just love like this when he makes people just run around everywhere because he doesn't do anything.
Right.
Like when the dude and Henry
he's got the umbrella
and they're running through the rain and they go up and Paul just pops out and then they go down to the payphone to make the call.
Right. Like,
he won't use phone and he doesn't do anything. But Paul Sorvino.
That's my
guy.
Now, although I have to preface it by, if this was a life or death, I would have to say that the Pesci performance is the most stunning, one of the most stunning performances anybody's ever seen, up there with Heath Ledger and all that shit. Yeah. We're trying to go where people haven't before because everybody talks about that shit.
Yep.
And in my opinion,
you're gonna say Maury.
Who?
You're gonna say Maury.
Maury the wig guy. like Frankie Carbone.
Maury Kessler.
The guy that played Carbone was the man.
Yes.
No. But I do think Lorraine Bracco, I've never liked her more. Like I did like her as Dr. Melfi in Sopranos, and that was fine. But you know, she was in a lot of like shit in the 90s, early 90s that were kind of like they were movies based on plays. And she's done a lot. And I've never been impressed with her until that. Like, to me, she was Karen Hill.
Yeah. She is perfect. Casting
she was hot,
is perfect.
Too.
She
I
is,
thought so. There was the just
time,
something about her.
At the time, it was just the perfect stroke. Rossi. Janice Rossi. She's a whore. I mean, I love
it. Yeah. Yeah. So was she nominated for anything?
I think she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Yeah.
Do you think she was?
Yeah.
And now...
And it was her first, like...
Yeah, I mean...
Did she win? I guess she didn't win.
No, Joe Pesci's the only one that won.
Okay, okay.
They were nominated for six. I just had Best Picture and Best Director listed. I'll have to look
that up. Oh, wait, so C. Because if you said no, then maybe no. But for some reason, I thought that that really gave her, like, she was an officially...
Keep going.
...established actress after that one. So my best performance, in my opinion, has got to go to Lorraine Bracco because, again, she won me over. And it's a rarity that I get won over by an unknown.
Yeah.
You know, for the record. All right. So moving along.
Yeah.
The next category, one of my favorites. The best quote or monologue, in your opinion, of the movie. Now, you can have two if you need to. If you only have one, that's fine. But I know it's very hard to narrow these things down sometimes.
I mean, I got mine.
All right, I'm going to start with you.
But it goes right with my character. Ray Liotta, Henry Hill's character, is narrating. And he's like, Paulie may have moved slow, but that's because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody.
Yep.
That's my quote.
Nice.
That quote.
Right. It's but not I'm, a line. Love,
that's not my favorite scene, so we can still go there, but that's my quote.
Right. Nice. That's a good one, actually. Son?
I think the best quote is like the opening, as far back as I can remember. I've always wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah, nice.
Awesome quote. But my favorite quote of the movie is when they kill Billy Batts. He's like, Henry, grab a tablecloth, and they lay it down. He just looks up and he's like, I didn't want to get blood on your floor. Like, that's just such a psychopath thing to say.
I swear on everything I own, that's my quote.
It's the best, because he's not worried that he just killed this guy and it could be very bad for him. He's worried about the blood on the floor.
Right.
He didn't want to make it inconvenient for his friend that owns this bar. Like,
right.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's so psychotic that you picked that quote. I watched it last night, and I'm looking for all quote. For the beaten path, and I swear.
You planned that.
No.
How the hell could we have planned that? Yeah, I almost feel like I got to think of another one now, because it threw me off.
I might have to. Lorraine Bracco was, in fact, nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Nice. But she didn't win. But still, I remember her career really got a boost because it was...
A decade later, she got Sopranos, which was huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we'll go into the similar DNA with Sopranos and Goodfellas. So that's good shit. All right.
So that's your quote. You got to come up. We'll come back to you on the quote.
Well, let me think. I mean, because he whored me with the quote. I mean, in my head, you know, why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy? Like, that's a good one.
Go get your shine box.
Motherfucker! that I love. I think that it's either that or... You insulted him a little bit. You insulted him. He's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's great too. Yeah, because he's like, he's just himself, nice to him. But soon as Pesci comes in, he just grabs,
right,
he immediately turns,
puts the cigarette down.
Turns, grabs him, and it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an incredible performance. I mean, the movie is a masterstroke. Right?
How old was Robert De Niro during that movie? In real
life? Do you know?
Yeah.
48.
Because they say in the beginning, they said he looks like he could have been 28 or 29.
Yeah.
That's what Henry says when he's narrating. He was 46 when he made
that
movie.
That's what I was going to say.
46 years old.
I said 48.
It's crazy. He was younger than us in that movie.
I hate that.
Isn't that wild?
Wait, why do you say that? That's ignorant.
Like, De Niro was younger than us in Goodfellas.
Yeah, he looked better. He was fucking,
He's also a millionaire.
Like Robert De Niro.
He's Bobby De Niro. Okay, so good stuff. So... All right, so we're all good. All right, so this one is, you know, think about it for a second if you want. It's the best sleeper scene. You know, the scene that, you know, it isn't the opening knife gut, you know, but something that just spoke to you on a low-key level, maybe from a craft standpoint you think is fucking phenomenal or anything. You know what I'm saying? You want to go? You want me to go?
I can go.
All right, go ahead.
Let's hear it.
So the scene where the restaurant guy, the guy that played Larry Boy Barisi in Sopranos, is talking.
Sonny? I think his character's name Sonny.
Whoever owns the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And they're just talking and he keeps saying how Joe Pesci's character is a problem. He's
meeting with Paulie and Henry.
Yeah, he's like, what do you want me to do? Kill the guy? He's like, that wouldn't be a bad idea. And it's just a subtle face change of Paul Sorvino.
That's why I love him so much.
In Inglourious Bastards, like the opening scene, just the subtle change of the face, and it totally flips the scene. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy's gonna get shot.
He does. He does the Roy Scheider because he's sitting there. He's like, what do you want me to do with this guy? And he's like, he just relaxes his face muscles.
Does the Roy Scheider. Yeah, yeah. Because
the dude's just like, oh my god, I just. I'm sorry, I said that. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
You can feel the room goes silent. Yes.
That's why he's my guy, man. Because it's just that his presence. Yeah. You're very powerful. He just said it, and he's like, "Oh, no.
Right."
That was not smart. That shit.
Right. That's a good scene.
Yes. That's a good
fucking
one.
Phenomenal pool.
Because during that scene, was Ray like? Was he into the coke yet? Or no?
No, it's before that.
Because he's just sitting there
in the background, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, and the dude's got the bandage on from when Pesci. Right. So that scene, the Pesci scene, is based on Pesci's own experience.
I've heard that.
When he worked at a restaurant, he joked to a real mobster, and the dude did not take it lightly.
And
Joe Pesci, I didn't know, directed that whole scene. He directed that scene.
Wow. That's
and cool. I'm 99% sure I read that. Joe Pesci directed the Mari commercial, the wig commercial in the beginning.
That's so funny.
Don't come off.
Well, you know, there's all DNA through there. Like Scorsese, like Billy Batts and Pesci were in a band together.
Right.
Like the guy that Pesci in real life. Yeah, in real life. Yeah. Like they were in a band and were best friends for years and years. And Scorsese knows them from Italy or Little Italy, New York era bars and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what's the actor's name?
For what? Billy Batts?
Billy Batts.
He died recently.
Yeah, he did.
He was in The Sopranos.
He was in Casino. He was Joe Pesci's.
Something with a T, maybe something Sylvia or something.
Oh, God.
I can't wait till you find out so I don't lose my mind.
Oh, what the hell is his name?
But, you know, I can't remember what the fuck I was saying. What was I saying? Ware Davis, do you remember what I was saying? Oh, Billy Batts and Tommy. We're in a band together in real life.
Frank Vincent. Damn.
Yeah,
Vincent.
That's it.
Damn. Vincent.
Yeah, he just died
recently. Italian as shit. Yeah. And
actually, not recently. 2017.
I think either Pesci was a drummer and he was the bass player or vice versa.
We'd have to dive deep. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I think there's an album or there's you can find it on YouTube. Them in a band performing.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Either of you heard Pesci's rap?
No.
Wise Guy
no.
that came out in the 90s after Goodfellas and Casino. Oh, it's rap. Man. It's music video.
I feel like maybe I have, it but maybe hysterical. Like put it out of my mind.
This is not AI?
No, it's real. Joe Pesci made this rap song called Wise Guy. And he, just his persona in all these mob movies.
Right.
And it is the cheesiest thing.
That sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know if I've ever seen
it. Yeah, no,
it.
I've never heard of it in my life. That's incredible.
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
I'll bet.
So that's that's a good sleeper scene though that you had there.
Yeah, that's a fucking great one. Yeah. What do you got?
Oh my god, did I just lose it?
That's so funny.
Oh my god, we sidetracked and I lost my scene.
Well, and keep in mind, it doesn't have to be, it can be a good scene, just not one of the main six, you know what I'm saying? Well, I can give you mine.
Yeah, go.
Mine is when he's in jail.
Yeah.
The whole time that they're in jail, it's like there's... Is that what you were going to say?
Not the whole...
You're going to punch me in the face.
Okay, well, then we can talk together. Not the whole jail scene. The scene where he's talking about dinner.
That's what I'm saying.
And Paulie's sitting there shaving.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's my scene.
Yeah, because it's like... I don't know why, but it just is, it doesn't,
it makes
feels,
me want to be there.
Yeah, it feels right.
I want to eat what they were making.
Right. Ever since he's talking about how Paulie shaved that garlic, that's how I do it from now on.
Haven't done that. I haven't done it.
You haven't?
I have a lot of patience, but I don't have the patience to slice garlic so it liquefies in the pan.
Well, I don't use a shitload, but it's like that, it's like I'm always like,
yep.
And for whatever reason, that scene makes me feel just Like it's after homey. It's it an feels elixir.
Homey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like after the rancid killing and shit. Yeah,
and he refers to it as a meter of fish.
Right, right. A meter of fish. That's wonderful. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I love those scenes where they're cooking. Like even in Sopranos when the dude gets killed when he comes in and he's joking and they stab him up when the dude's making the meatballs. Yeah. Right. And then you can go online and get Clemenza's meatball recipe from Godfather.
That's
like you can
so
make Clemenza's
incredible.
Meatballs.
The Sopranos, they have a Soprano family cookbook on Amazon.
Yeah. Yep. I haven't made Clemenza's
you
meatballs.
You can make
though.
Clemenza's
yes, you
meatballs.
Can, dude. Yes, you can.
Is that, let me ask you this, though. Is that sanctioned by the Godfather people, or is that some nickel bagger from Wisconsin?
Who I don't know. Good... Maybe the actor released the recipe
well, that's what I'm
back
saying.
In the time. I don't know.
Well, that's an important
I haven't gone,
factor.
I haven't done a deep dive into Clemenza's meatballs.
Let's look into these Clemenza's meatballs. Like, if it's the guy, then okay. But if it's just some kid named Rick who stamped
Wait a
Clemenza's
minute. Is it
meatballs,
Clemenza Tony? In Goodfellas, the dude with the umbrella?
No.
No.
No?
No, 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 no. Clemenza sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's Luca Brasi.
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. Oh.
In Godfather?
Yeah, but who the hell Clemenza gets greased?
I don't think Al Pacino the gun.
Yeah, Clemenza plants the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clemenza doesn't die in Godfather. Come on, Brian.
All right, baby.
Do I have
right.
to revert to
not,
Kearns
no,
on this
no, no,
one
no,
to see what he
Google,
thinks about
we're
it?
We're not going
to
Google. I believe you. I believe you. It's
yeah,
two
Luca
to
Brasi
one.
Sleeps with the fishes.
I believe. I remember that. You're right. But for I'm trying to think of what is Clemenza Abe? Is that Abe? Is that our boy?
Abe Vigoda?
Yeah. Is
no,
that Clemenza?
No. That's Sal.
All right. I'm going to have to look him up now.
Clemenza made the meatballs.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Clemenza was our boy.
And he planted the gun.
Yeah. And in Godfather 2, it was played by our boy, the short guy, Bruno Kirby.
Mm. Oh.
Right?
Did they change actors in Godfather 2 for Clemenza?
He was a young Clemenza.
Oh, that,
yeah,
I can
see that. He gives, what's his face, the gun.
I can see that.
Yeah, let me make sure that I'm right on that. But, yeah, okay, okay. So...
And Clemenza kills Frank.
The gun. The
no, no, no. Well, the, yeah, that. But no,
the when, cannoli.
At God damn it! Michael's sister's husband. Isn't his name Frank? He gets in the car, and Clemenza's
right.
like, "Hey, what's that's not his name. His name's not Frank."
It's not Frank. The guy that gets killed is not Frank.
Yeah,
but
he gets in the front seat.
Yeah.
How do you not know his name?
The guy in the back seat that strangles him?
Yeah, it's Clemenza.
Yeah, but you're saying, how do I not know the dickhead's
name?
Yeah,
what's his name?
It's like...
Is it Paulo?
Paul.
I don't think so.
Oh, God.
Right now, there's 9 million people that are yelling.
Yeah, right.
Actually, Steven Bruska is yelling right now. I can tell you right now. All right, so we're going to have to look
hear
this
it.
Shit
I can hear him saying it. He's like,
I think you might
don't
be,
lie
I feel
to
like
me.
Paul, it was the young jerk.
Yeah.
Luckily, the internet in this place is rocking. Do you got anything over there, Will? You're going to edit out the silence.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. I'll
Do you got anything over there with it? I can't get anything on the phone.
Carlo! Because he gets in the front seat and he says, "Hi, Carlo," and he kind of like starts turning and he puts the wire around.
Unbelievable!
Him.
I can't believe I
always wonder about that scene too. Because when they drive away, they're missing the front windshield because his foot goes through it. I'm like, they had to go somewhere quick and off the main road because he just like the dead dude just kicked out the front windshield.
Yeah, it was a different time, New York. You know, people were paid off.
Everybody was frightened of the Corleones.
Sure, the mob was greasing palms everywhere.
So there were some good sleeper scenes. And we kind of had a similar one.
Yeah. Well, we moved on from it. It's fine, and we have the same taste, just like me and my son. All right, so now best obvious scene. I will start this one.
Do you have the same one as me?
I don't know. Do you
Well, you should let him go first.
You go ahead.
You screwed him last time.
Mine's easy. The long shot. When they arrived at the restaurant.
You know, that's my least favorite scene in the whole
movie. Oh, my God. That scene is so impressive. It's a little over under 3 minutes. The Steadicam was only invented 15 years before that. the dude that did that was Larry McConklin, and he learned how to use that device from Garrett Brown, who invented the Steadicam.
For Kubrick.
Okay.
Yes, for the Danny scene when he's tricycling around one of the first uses of the Steadicam.
Now, for the layman at home who doesn't know Goodfellas like the back of their hand, explain why this scene is so dice.
Because it's one take. They get out of their car and they walk through the restaurant down the back entrance, and it's just, I mean, from a cameraman perspective, it's intricate because you have people in the way and there's no cuts, and they did it in one take.
Right. That's
one
impressive.
Take. And there's just scenes, like, because Ray Liotta was integral to that and, like, just planning out the scene and walking through it. But when they shot it, they did one take. And just there's scenes where he purposely, like, when he's slipping people money, him and Lorraine Bracco are purposely turning just to get so their faces are on camera. So it's not just the back of them the whole time.
Right.
There's some disappearing acts in there just to make some changes when they're going through the kitchen, just because of the Steadicam movement. But that's my favorite scene. Do you know the song that's playing during it?
Rags to Riches? No, that's the beginning. Oh, man, I just watched it. It's all big bands.
Little details.
Yeah, man.
Little details.
Go.
Then she kissed me, the crystal.
Yep. Oh, yep, shit. Yep, of yep. course. Boom, yeah. boom, yep. boom, 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 boom.
I love that scene. Right. Because Damn. It's like, I always want, like, our Joe Pesci and those guys are in there waiting. They're like, all right. They're just shooting the shit while right. they're coming down, like, filming. I'm saying, like, on the production.
Right.
And they're like, all right. Cue up, like, here they come. And everybody nails the scene. It took one take.
Right.
Like it's perfect.
For those at home, if you go mid, it's like just the first 20 minutes of the movie, this scene, and it's orchestrated. It's like, it's not just about some guy walking behind a couple with a camera. It's like every room they go into, there's movement, there's work, and all of those extras had to sync up. And this is pre-internet. We're not all on cell phones where we can see a little fucking thing coming down. It's like, it's an impressive
and it's feat. just the epitome of the respect that crew receives from anyone.
Right.
Like that dude, once they get into the restaurant, the dude just is like, he points, the guy picks up a chair or picks up a table,
right.
Walks it over and puts it right up front.
Yep.
Question, just to go along with that, who was performing?
What was
the name of the character performing?
Yeah, he's a one-liner.
King of the one-liners.
Benny Goodman.
Nope.
Henny Goodman?
Henny Youngman.
Henny Youngman.
You were close.
Yeah, I knew it was some bullshit. Yep. Like, what did I say? Yeah. Benny Goodman.
Benny Goodman.
Henny Youngman.
So that's my scene.
Can I explain the one thing I don't like about that scene?
Yes, you can, because I kind of ignored the fact that you said that.
So I like the scene. I don't hate it, but...
I think you said hate.
You said least favorite. Yes, and here's why. So they're going down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
They make that left in the kitchen.
Yep.
They make an immediate left, like between make tables, and they loop back around, and then they come out the same door they just went into and make a left.
Yep.
So instead of going through the kitchen, I mean, obviously it's for the shot and to show how respected they are. But they could have just walked straight.
Objection, Your Honor.
No, pull it up.
No,
I'm pretty sure they had to do that due to the logistics of the shot.
I believe you. What I'm saying is that that's one of those, like, after the 12th time, if you're looking for a gotcha, you know, you can see
really
the shining.
I really hope for your sake that from now on that doesn't bother me when I'm watching that.
It will, because the first time I noticed that, I rewinded it. I was like, that's so dumb.
It's not going to bother me. I think I know what you're talking about. It's almost like they walk in a circle.
Yeah.
Well, are you sure he didn't go to greet somebody, say hi? Maybe he went to shake somebody's
cuts
hand.
Cuts left in the kitchen. And like
cuts left.
Say hi, immediate left. And then loops back around to the front. And then comes out the doorway.
He like takes a bite of food or something. I think you're wrong. We're gonna leave it at that. I think he's going to greet somebody.
Okay.
I think you may have missed something.
We'll get emails about this, I'm sure.
But yeah, that's my scene. I love that scene.
That's
I'm
a great
sticking to
scene.
It. Caleb's take on it doesn't
hot
mean
take.
Anything
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, hot take. My son, he's critiquing God, the master.
I wouldn't have expected anybody to be like, "That's my least favorite scene."
Yeah,
that's my least
favorite why? Scene. I'm sitting there thinking maybe it's the song, maybe it's the food they're serving. Right. It's because of a technical.
It just right. sticks out to me. I don't know why. Right, it just sticks out.
No, that's well, okay, good.
So
that's
what's
good.
Your? Give me that's your good. Favorite scene. Obvious favorite scene.
When Henry's in the bed and he opens his eyes and Lorraine Bracco's character has the gun to his face and he has to talk his way out.
Yes.
That's my favorite scene.
That's a great scene.
That's my favorite scene.
It's just well acted.
It's just a shot because like you can't see her whole face. You see the revolver.
Yes, first.
And then just a little bit of her face.
Yeah, and he's shitting his pants. So he's like,
Yeah, that's an incredible scene.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
The scene that my favorite scene is the beginning, the knife. I've never been affected quite like when that first trunk opens and he is gutting Billy Pesh.
Because he moans.
Just the sound of that. First of all, Pesci, as the camera's coming around the back of the trunk, it's dark. You see De Niro. De Niro looks pretty concerned. Pesci looks angry.
Yeah.
And Henry looks worried.
Yeah.
And De Niro motions him to get the keys out. And right when he does that, Pesci pulls out this fucking knife. And it's the opening credit, like the Goodfellas, 1 second in the movie, this knife comes out. And it's the biggest chef knife
it's
you've
his
ever seen.
Mother's.
Yeah, it's huge. Knife.
That's the best part. We got a. You know, what do you call it?
Yeah.
A hoof.
Right.
Gotta hack it off.
We gotta hack the hoof off. I hit one of those deer. Like, she's just like, okay.
So then
okay.
You see this huge blade that I'm in ninth grade. I'm going, oh my God, that's a huge knife. And then to see him impale this guy all the way down to the handle and the sound effect accompanying with it. And Billy Batts is really begging to stop and just the constant back and forth. And I just affected me. It blew my face.
That's a rough one. That's horrible.
And so to me, that's what Goodfellas is.
Yeah.
Just that like
balls. But I don't think that is the most tragic death.
No.
And the one that the death I'm talking about is almost like a theory, but it's not a theory. I think it's accurate.
You want to give me something?
Or Frankie Carbone, man. Like everybody during that montage with Layla was, I mean, they were in trash compactors. They were in their cars. They were all shot in the head, blood. Frankie Carbone was hanging on a meat hook in a freezer truck with no blood.
Yeah.
So that leads me to believe, which I mean, I didn't just come up with this on my own. I think I read it a couple of years ago or something, just reading about Goodfellas. That he was put up on that meat hook and left in that freezer truck to just die and freeze to death. But you're like, why didn't he get the easy way out like everybody else? Everybody else just like Maury got stabbed in the brain, which is horrible.
Yeah, right. I hear what
but it was still probably instant death. Yeah. But why did Frankie Carbone get such a bad
what did he bring in?
Rat?
He brought in
the fur coats.
A fur coat.
Yeah. So there's a scene also that apparently there's foreshadowed Ray Liotta or Henry Hill foreshadows Carbone's death by taking the fur coats to Sonny in the restaurant and they don't know what to do with them.
So he puts them in the freezer
because it's summer and they can't sell them yet.
Oh.
So they say that was a foreshadowing of Frankie Carbone's demise.
Right.
Okay.
And I think maybe Frankie got the shit end of it because he bought the fur coat like blatantly, like even the other guy that bought the car, he was like, it's in my mother's name.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. that's another good scene. Well, everybody's just walking in with shit and Jimmy's just like, what's the matter with you?
It's so funny. That's so typical. Yeah. Like just in general, even if you're not arch
it's
criminals,
in my mother's
like,
name.
And the wives
are
like,
rid of it. Yeah. Like, and then Carbone, he's like, all right. He like pushes his wife. He's like, come on, let's go.
Right.
He's got to return the fur coat.
They know.
But yeah, man, like he was hanging. Like he didn't have a gunshot wound. He didn't have any like ligature marks on his
neck.
That's
a
tough one.
They
put him on a meat hook and left him to freeze to death.
They said it took 2 days to
three days to fall down.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. It's horrible. Like
it's
I feel like, and
one.
it's an off camera death. But to me, it's like the most tragic death, even beyond Billy Batts.
All right, so would you rather get hung by a meat hook like Frankie Carbone or stabbed with a 1 foot chef knife in the gut?
That's a that's a terrible question, but Billy Batts was already mostly dead at that point from being beaten.
Yeah, he gets stomped pretty bad.
He was mostly dead and out of it, but I mean, I'm sure he still felt it, but Carbone just hung there, alive.
Yeah, boy. And eventually, he'll be mostly dead.
But he's slowly... he slowly froze to death, hanging on a meat hook.
Yeah, while living.
Yeah, all right.
That's horrible. That's bad. That's like, that is rough.
All right.
I didn't like Mari had it rough too.
I guess the old meat hook
with the ice pick to the back of the head.
Yes,
that was Tommy.
And how about you know who Stax was?
Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson. Right. Yeah. It's like I didn't even realize
that's a cool
that.
Scene
really?
Too.
Yeah. No.
You never noticed that.
I never noticed it. I don't know why.
Edwards.
You just discovered that last night? You just realized that last night that
last
Sam
night.
Jackson?
Yes, sir.
That's crazy.
Last night.
Holy shit.
I mean, in my defense, he's in about a minute total of the movie.
Yeah, but it's... I mean,
and
that's
it's from far away shots. Like, it's not
talks,
like a huge...
You can hear him.
He speaks. He has speaking lines.
Does he?
Because he's like, we were supposed to be there at 9. It's 11. He's like, oh, shit, man. Hold on. Let me get ready.
He's got his back to...
He's like, what do you got? I thought you had one of your bitches in here. And he's like, oh, yeah, man. Where is she?
He's got... It's from the side. Yeah. It's not directly on. And the guy shoots him from the back.
They show him in scenes in the bar, but he's... I don't think he has speaking roles in the bar.
I just was shocked because I was like, oh shit,
that's crazy.
You know, I mean,
it's crazy that
I don't know,
that's awesome. But then he gets easy way out, like just gets shot in the head several
he gets
times,
blitzed in the head by
and then
Tommy.
It's like, leave the fucking pot.
Yeah, he goes to bring it, make the coffee to go. He's walking,
that's
out.
Carbone.
Yeah,
Carbone
that
is right,
Carbone.
Right.
Because that's what they say. Like, Carbone, so when they kill Mari, Mari Kessler, he's
this
a great
fucking guy,
too.
Man. I know. Can you imagine? He goes in at that one point to give Jimmy the Gent shit that he's not paying him his money. Like, what the fuck is up with this guy? I
mean, right. Well, then that scene where they're in his wig shop and Jimmy's just sitting there, like, pacing back and forth while Henry's going, dude, like, look, you owe money. He's getting bizzed. And he finally comes over and, like, strangles him with it.
And today,
But Ray Liotta's laughing. Like the whole time, like I wonder if he actually was laughing or something because he didn't
know.
Like that, like who knows if they knew like Robert De Niro improvised it or not because he's like laughing about it. He's like stop.
And De Niro's known to be a method actor back then,
but
especially.
But Jimmy had no intentions of ever paying poor Mari.
No, he didn't.
Not at all.
He's a smart businessman. Just
cut
the fat.
Yeah. But in the car was Jimmy, Tommy, and Frank.
Yeah, man. But that scene,
I don't even think
stabbing.
Henry was in there. I don't even think Henry was in the car with them at that scene. Because they were playing cards.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think
God, that was horrible.
Yeah. Fucking awful.
God, it's such a good
movie. All right, so that'll wrap it for the categories. The 6 degrees we did with Bobby De Niro this time. But keep your eyes peeled for that because, you know, I think it's an interesting one that I might be, only... A few might be able to hack it, but maybe not. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, I can't do it. I have a few questions, too.
Okay, go.
I have 6 questions? We already
I didn't even know Sam Jackson was in this
fucking
movie.
That's insane.
So
I'm going to put that on my list. We already got Henny Goodman. I did have that as one of the questions. So, this... I'm assuming this is true. I think I got this off of IMDb, or maybe a quiz. And I'm going to read this verbatim because this was fascinating to me. So I
so
wrote it down.
So this isn't a question.
It is.
Okay.
It is impossible to imagine anyone other than Ray Liotta and Lorraine Bracco as mob informant Henry Hill and his wife Karen. But two other big stars at the time were floated for these roles. Who were they?
Hmm. Okay. I don't know this.
You're not going to get it.
I mean, it's not Keitel.
That's why I was
say. No, it's nobody. Neither one of these people have been in a mob movie, I'll tell you that much.
Give me a hint that I might...
And one of them's a singer.
Around that time...
And one of them's a pretty big action star at the time. Actually, he did a lot of random movies. Action, some comedy, I guess. Some
Madonna.
Madonna is one.
Okay.
So
and Ned Beatty?
Irwin Winkler didn't even entertain it. He's like, That I'm not even going to talk about.
Right.
Like, no. No Madonna. Right. Not even talking about it.
In her defense, she was Italian, I believe. Yeah. So it might have worked, but not at the time.
No, actually, I think at the time it could have. I mean, that's 1990. I mean, she was mad in her prime although back she, then.
Yeah, like, you're right. I mean, it was body evidence days, probably. So, right?
Tom Cruise.
What?
Wow,
that Tom would be Cruise. Terrible.
That makes sense because of Color of Money.
Yeah. Erwin Winkler is the one who was like, Tom Cruise, absolutely not right. Wow. And he wouldn't even entertain the Madonna conversation. Apparently,
that's interesting. I wonder if budget had something to do with the two because they were going to need De Niro, Pesci.
I don't know. I don't think it was budget. I think it was like no. Yeah, Tom Cruise. He's going to imagine.
Well, I got to tell you, do you saw Collateral?
Oh, no, that's great.
I mean, he was good. Yeah, he does things that you don't think he can do.
It's another one of those things. That's one of those. Like, where imagine if they did get cast, we'd be talking about them right now and probably still liking that movie just as much.
Right. That's true.
Because it's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, I never heard that. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, the Madonna thing, I just guessed because you said she was a big star.
As far back as he can remember, he wanted to be a gangster. What was his first job, Henry Hill?
Parking cars.
There you go. Good job. That's
is that in the movie or is
it? Yeah, he's driving. Because he drives past those girls. They're standing outside the chain link fence.
Yep. Yeah, I saw a documentary about it too. So I couldn't remember if they say that in the movie or yeah, interesting.
What's the name of the bar that gets torched by Henry and Tommy?
The coconut.
It's the one that the dude owns.
Coco.
That Paulie takes. It's right after Paulie takes over, and then the place just goes to shit because he's like running up credit, like destroying
it. It's like the coconut tiki or
no.
It's not tiki.
The Coco Lounge.
Lounge is right. It's on the matchbook that they used to burn it down.
Is it sweet?
Is it sweet?
It's not cocoa.
It's a plant.
Coconut.
I guess it's grows the name what the something lounge starts with a B.
Banana.
Nope. The Bamboo Lounge.
Oh,
I can't believe it. I'm sitting here going coconut.
The Bamboo Lounge.
Yeah, Henry Hill burns that bitch to the ground. He gets put in charge of it, and
the next question you guys will probably get the following question. I think you'll just have a guess. Which artist is heard the most on the Goodfellas soundtrack?
Rolling Stones.
Wrong.
Wow.
Sinatra?
Wrong. Think about it. Think about it.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah. He has three songs, I believe.
He has three songs? Yeah. Oh, right. Because I guess, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, Layla was the most prominent one during the montage. Right.
Yeah, wow, no, I didn't, that's a...
And the last question is, how many times is the F word used in the movie Goodfellas?
263.
That's so funny, I was going to say 236.
That's interesting.
That's wonderful.
That is low. Higher.
291.
Higher.
473.
Lower.
322.
Lower.
Tell us.
It's a whole number.
It's a whole 300.
Yeah, 300. Wow. 300 times.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And Joe Pesci got a call from his mother asking him if he had to curse so much.
That's so funny.
It's a thing.
It was an incredible performance, and it is a lot of language. I'm still baffled that it wasn't the same year as Silence of the Lambs. I'd have bet money on that. But Dances with Wolves, one of the greats. You know, I feel like Goodfellas probably should have won Best Picture that year. I do love Dances.
I mean, yeah.
But, you know, I just feel like there was nothing like it. There's been nothing like it. Well, there's been stuff like it since. Yeah. But it just was the perfect stroke of genius for the perfect time.
Yep.
And the perfect story, you know.
A couple other, maybe I know this, that it was an adaptation of a 1985 book called Wise Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. De Niro, the scene where he's handing out the money.
Real money.
Yeah. He had fake money, and De Niro didn't like the feel of the fake money, so the prop master brought in $5,000 cash of his own money and gave it to De Niro to use for that scene.
Is that crazy?
But at the end of shooting, like, no one was allowed to leave until all of the money was accounted for at the end of the shooting.
That's us.
Yeah, like, he's like, I don't like it. Like, it's fake money. I don't want it.
Right.
So they brought in $5,000 cash.
That's us.
And, this I just found out today is that the Lufthansa heist still has never actually been solved. Like, they've never found the money, the diamonds, nothing. The most recent arrest was 2014, which ended in an acquittal.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither.
So I don't know how accurate. I don't know how accurate the characters in the story, if that's just something that was brought into the story.
It's probably speculation but of yeah, how I mean, they would have
I guess they know who took it, but they've never found anything.
Right.
They've never found the money or the diamonds.
That's
ever.
Fascinating. That's crazy. And that's in New York or New Jersey or something?
The Lufthansa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, no, it was a JFK. It was Lufthansa, like, airlines or
yeah,
something.
It's France. Right? Yeah, it's a French airline.
Yeah, I got you.
I knew it took place, like, that heist was out of Jersey or New York. Yeah. I just didn't know which one. But, yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy, crazy, crazy.
It's a wild life. You got anything else on your trivia
No,
run?
It's funny, though, that I do have written down here, slicing garlic.
Yeah, I don't know why. That scene always just spoke to me. Yeah. I mean, I it's something.
That's when he got into the coke, too.
And it is when he went down.
Because what Paulie gives him the conversation later, he's like, what you did in prison, you did. You had to survive. He's like, but out here, nope.
Right. And that's the beginning of the end. And Paulie knows it when he's looking him dead in the eyes. He's going, don't lie to me.
And he smacks him. Yeah. He's like, don't lie to me.
But you can see Paulie knows he is lying to him. Right? You know, it's like, it's fucking.
But I don't think he ever. And that, I mean, the scene when he sends him down to Florida, that's one of those scenes where you think you're like, shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's going to have him whacked right here. But no, they just get out and whip that guy's hands.
Right. And it's a feds sisters or, you know, some dumb stuff that gets him popped like that. Incredible film. Incredible stuff. It is. So this was fun.
It was fun. I got a fun fact.
Yeah. Okay. Give it to
me. So Spider, when he gets shot the second time.
Yeah.
And he dies. So when they were filming that, in the scene, Michael Imperioli falls back on the bar, goes to catch himself, and he grabs a glass and it shatters.
Right.
So he has to go to the hospital and get stitches. And he gets rushed in to surgery because his chest, it looks like he just got lit up from
the
squibs.
Right.
And he goes in and he's like, I'm in a movie with Robert De Niro. They cut his shirt off. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You just got shot. And he's like, I swear I'm in a movie with Robert De Niro.
That's hilarious.
My hand is hurt. This is all fake. They're squibs.
That's
hilarious. He had to explain himself. Like,
that's awesome. They're like, get out of the way.
Yeah, they were like getting ready to like perform surgery.
That's incredible.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good
show. This was awesome. Goodfellas is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, see it. Because I know there's people out there who not only don't probably know what we're talking about because it happens, or have just never seen it. Like, I mean, Amanda had never seen Jaws until after our Jaws episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Never seen it.
Why? Just no interest?
Just never seen it.
Just
down. She's not the biggest movie person. I mean,
well, sometimes you hear something.
We found that out on the last interview we just did. With the last interview, we had her in here, and she opens kind of with that.
That's well, fun. Sometimes it's like you hear something's bad, and so you just don't look into it, but it just because you hear it's bad doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, I don't
and
think she heard it's
later,
bad. I just don't think. I think she probably doesn't know that she's seen it.
Right.
But maybe she hasn't. But she has now because I went home and immediately made my whole family watch it.
Right.
And they all loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like Christian.
Because it holds up.
Christian and the band had never seen it until 2 years ago. Right, I bought it for him on his birthday. Right. You know, and he's like, Brian, Goodfellas is a great movie. I'm like, yeah.
I wonder if Umar's ever seen Goodfellas. Remember all those movies?
Yeah. You know,
I just watched Pulp Fiction the other day.
But I think he did say he'd seen a lot of gangster type stuff. Right. So hopefully Umar has seen good stuff.
Probably.
All right. Yeah, this was great. Keep your eye out for Sanity Cinema. It's going to be in between the interviews We've got we'll a couple in the can.
We'll pop them around.
And we got a couple. We got guests galore coming in, and it's going to be good shit.
If you have favorite movies that you want us to talk about, email us info@sanitylounge.com or message us on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, baby.
Bring somebody in to chat about them. That's going to be the new thing.
Yep. Yes, galore.
But
all
it's
right.
fun.
I love you, son. I love appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Stay sane, Baltimore.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.